But if you haven't been coming, we've been actually reading through the book of Genesis and going through the big stories in the Bible. I do apologize if you can't see me. It's kind of what I'm going to hide behind. But I will try to not. So we've been reading through Genesis, and as a church this morning, we are up to the book. We're in the book of Genesis. We're up to the story of Joseph. So he has a pretty epic story. If you guys don't know the story, it actually starts in Genesis 37 and it goes all the way to Genesis 50. So we'll be nice and comfy this morning because we got about 7 hours of scripture. I'm kidding. And guys, I really accept courtesy laughs. Just so you know, I know I'm not very funny, so if I cue the courtesy laugh look, just do it. It'll make me feel better. So I'm going to recap so we don't have to go through the entire long scriptures, but read it at home in your own time. So Joseph had 11 brothers. And I'm going to pause there because I'm a mum of two and I feel like my house is chaos sometimes. And when I was reading this, I was like, dude, perspective. Imagine 11. Like, that is next level. And just if you're not parents yet, I'm going to let you in on a little tip. You're not meant to have favorites, okay? You're not meant to show that you have favorites, and you're meant to love them all equally. Unfortunately, no one actually shared that information with Joseph's dad. So he favored Joseph. And because of that, his brothers hated him. And in Genesis 37, verse 5, Joseph has this super cool dream and he runs out and it's like, Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered it around mine and bowed down to it. Great dream, Joseph. Now, he is a super slow learner. And so he has this other dream and he goes, hey, maybe if I do the same thing again, there'll be a different outcome. I'm going to go tell my brothers again. So he goes out and he goes, listen, I had another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed down to me. Now, surprise, surprise, they hated him. They hated him. And quickly fast forward, Joseph's brothers got together and they decided their hate was so strong. They're like, this dude's got to go. We got to get rid of him. He is not welcome here anymore. So they plot to kill him. Now, one of them feels a little bit bad. A little bit of guilt sets in, which is great. And they decide, let's not kill him. Let's throw him into a pit. These two guys are walking past heading to Egypt and he goes, here, we'll sell him to you. So they sell him into slavery. Now, Joseph finds himself kind of on a roller coaster ride and he starts serving at a guy named Potiphar's house. Potiphar's a super rich dude, so, you know, it's a nice house. And in Genesis 39:2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. His master saw the Lord was with him and the Lord gave him success in everything he did. Ah, what a nice Disney ending. Unfortunately, it doesn't stop there. It's not happily ever after just yet. Joseph actually gets falsely accused of assault and he gets thrown into prison. While he's in prison, there's these two dudes and they both have these dreams and Joseph's like, hey man, I can tell you exactly what your dreams mean. So he shares them with them and both their dreams come true. Unfortunately for one, he gets killed and the other guy gets restored to Pharaoh's house where he is a cupbearer. Now, over 2 years later, 2 years, it's a long time to be in jail. I don't think I'd last a day, but Joseph served for over 2 years in jail and Pharaoh had a dream that no one could interpret. He asked upon all the magicians, all these people, and no one could tell him. And the cupbearer remembered Joseph, and so he's called out of prison. And it's, I love this part of the Bible. In Genesis 41:16, Joseph says to Pharaoh, I cannot do it. But God will give Pharaoh the answers he desires. So Pharaoh tells him this dream and he interprets it and says, you're going to have 7 great years, 7 years of abundance, followed by 7 years of famine. You need to set up Egypt so you don't die. And Pharaoh appoints Joseph, the second in charge of Egypt, to store the grain and get this country set up so they survive the 7 years. And we fast forward again, and during the famine, his brothers come to Egypt seeking food. And it says in Genesis 42:6, when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. The title of my message this morning is Delayed, Not Denied. Let's pray, because I need Jesus. Lord, I just want to thank you for every single person in here right now. God, I pray that the words that I speak won't be from me, God, but they will be direct from you. That, Lord, everything that we say this morning will point directly back to you. And God, I just pray and I thank you for their amazing futures that are in this room, for the dreams they're going to have, for the visions they're going to get. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak through me, help what I'm saying to make sense and not be boring. Amen. Okay. So I have an 11-year-old son, and I'm that typical mom that just thinks he is the world's talented kid, right? Every parent is that parent. Like, he is so amazing. Now, he has one skill that I'm going to share with you guys that is, like, beyond. Like, it's so unique. It is so special. It actually grabs your attention and forces you to sit and be like, wow. It also sometimes makes me get out my phone so I can secretly record him. His I feel like I need a drum roll. Like, thanks. His amazing talent is he is an amazing sleepwalker, sleep talker, sleep runner into walls. Like, it is next level crazy. And one night I'm laying in bed trying to sleep. I'll just let you in on a little secret of my house. I have an 11-year-old who sleep talks, a husband who snores, and a baby who won't sleep through the night. And for some reason, I am the world's lightest sleeper. So not a lot of sleep goes on. I rely purely on caffeine. So that's, yay. So one night, I'm like right at that point, I don't know if you guys know this, where you're fully, you can feel your body like fully relaxed. You can feel the sleep coming, right? And you're like, yes. And the next minute, there is this massive bang on my wall. And I was like, oh my gosh. Meanwhile, Sam's like, he does not even move. So I like run out and I'm like peeping through Malachi's door, because if you guys have sleepwalkers in your house, you're actually not meant to wake them. So I'm like peeping through his door, and I'm not joking. He's not here this morning, so I can like fully, so good. So he's like fully karate, like, like next level. I'm standing there going, my kid is broken. Like, there is something wrong. And then he runs to the door and he flicks the light on and he's like, and I'm like, hey bro, are you okay? And he goes, yeah. I'm just catching the fan. He turns around, lies back down and goes back to sleep. And I'm like, okay, we'll pray for him later. He is crazy. And the next morning I'm like, Malachi, how did you sleep? And he's like, yeah, I had this epic dream. And I'm like, really? And he starts telling me all about how he saved the world by catching a fan. Crazy. But my point is, have you ever had one of those really, really realistic dreams? Those dreams that you wake up and you're like, was that real? All those dreams when you wake up, you're like, no, 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 please go back to sleep. I want to keep dreaming. I do those ones often, yeah. And in some cases, dreams have this amazing ability to actually shift your emotions. They cause a reaction. In my son's case, they cause a physical reaction. But they have this amazing ability. And Joseph had this super cool dream. And he goes, I want to share it. It was awesome. I want to share it with my brothers, with people that will love me. Unfortunately, guys, there are some dreams that people actually aren't ready to hear. There are some dreams that are going to scare people. Some of you guys are going to have these big plans, big ideas, big dreams for your lives, and you're going to tell them to the wrong people. And the problem is, big dreams scare small people. And big dreams are intimidating. And when people feel intimidating, I'm not sure if you've seen this, but what they do is they project. They project fear, insecurities, doubt onto you. And so doubt is the number one thing that kills more dreams than failure ever will. It kills more dreams than failure ever will, because it stops you from even trying. And I believe right now, I'm looking around at everyone because I'm going to stop eyeballing my youth. But God has massive plans for your life. He has huge callings. And he's saying, I've got this big dream. And don't tell certain people. And I'm going to say, don't stop dreaming. In fact, dream big. Don't apologize for having big dreams. And then there's some of us in here, I think that maybe we've got complacent. Maybe we've got so comfortable and we're just going through the motions. Life's pretty good. We wake up, we go to work, we come home, and we're just stuck in this kind of rut. You've stopped dreaming. You've stopped stepping out. You've stopped wanting more. You're happy in your comfort zone. Problem is, not a lot of growth can happen in comfort zones, hence why I'm here today. That wasn't in my notes. Okay. I believe God has more in store for us, and I believe He wants to give new ideas, new dreams, and new visions. And in Joel 2:28, it says, I will pour out my spirit. The old men will dream dreams and the young men will see visions. You see, age doesn't actually limit God. This isn't just a message for the youth. Age doesn't limit God. I want to tell you that your best, you haven't peaked. Your best years aren't behind you. I had this image where, like, you know, you get to the certain age, and we hear it sometimes where you pass on the mantle. Yeah. Sometimes passing on the mantle means, hey, I've got empty hands. What else can I do? What else has God got? What's next? Start dreaming again. I listened to this really great podcast recently by Stephen Furtick and Craig Rochelle. And he said, how do you dream? How do you stay creative? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes you get in a rut, right? You get in that creative rut. And he said, you need to learn to free your mind. Probably one of the hardest things in this society. We are constant, like this wheel just keeps on turning. But the thing is, if you want to be creative, if you want to start dreaming, start pressing in, relax, rest, restore, come back to God, and so we can create. Are we all good? Cool. So I had to take Sam's van to church today. We have two cars, but only one has a baby seat, so he was home with the baby. I'm going to call it by its nice name, not what I call it. Its name is Betsy. And so I got stuck with Betsy. And as I'm driving, there is like actually thinking about it, it's probably illegal, so we will get it fixed this week. But there is this huge crack in the windscreen. Sorry. My friend. If you're a police officer, just block your ears. So there's a huge crack in the windscreen. And it is like, honestly, it has taken over the entire windshield. And it used to be... It started off really, really small, like this tiny little one. And now all of a sudden, it is like this big with like, yeah, it's going everywhere. So it's a hazard. I do have a point. My point is that when things start off little, they're actually a lot easier to fix. Unfortunately, when they get big, it's like more money, more time, more manpower. And I'm going to go back to the story, and it's in Joseph's brothers. And I don't think they were born into hatred. I don't think they were born and went, hate him. It grew over time. I actually think it would have started off small. And it grew. And they never, ever dealt with it. And can I say, I actually think their feelings are valid. I'm team brothers. Can you imagine growing up in a home where all you've ever faced is rejection? You have never, ever measured up. That would suck. Pastor Phil, hands up. We'll pray for you later too. They never ever measured up to their brother. So their feelings were actually completely valid. The problem was they got around like-minded people that went, yes, your feelings are valid. Stay in hate. Turn it into bitterness. Let's get resentment going. Do you know, I actually know grown-up adults that still... make decisions and live out of childhood trauma. It's not Pastor Phil, just so you know. Totally not Pastor Phil. I won't name names. But they make their decisions now based on things that happened to them 20, 30 years ago. And can I say, it actually, the people I'm thinking of, it actually is valid. What happened to them was horrible. And I look and go, yeah, man, you need to get help because you've started off like this and over time you've built it and you've got around people that have fueled it and all of a sudden it's this huge issue that actually controls your entire life. And I'll say this, what's inside of you is what will pour out of you. So if you are filled with anger, negative talk, self-doubt, that's actually what's going to come out in your life, and that's the path you're going to end up taking. You need to get around people that will call you out. And I honestly look at this story and I go, imagine if just one of the brothers went, hey, how about we stop looking at him and start looking at us? Hey, how about we stop hating, we start praying? How about we stop looking to what's happened in our life and we start looking to Jesus? Imagine if that had happened. I honestly believe that if you guys get around the right people, and can I say, that doesn't mean stop hanging around non-Christians. That does not mean that. You can hang around non-Christians. Sometimes it means you learn when to listen to them and take on their advice and when you learn to let it go. Okay. So my very last point, I don't know if I've gone super quick, I'm very sorry if I have, but my last point is sometimes dreams take time. There is delay, but doesn't mean you've been denied. Do you know it was 13 years from when Joseph had the dream to when it was fulfilled? 13 years. And I love how the Bible says the Lord was with him in the palace. And it also says the Lord was with him in the prison. And you know what? I actually think that if the 17-year-old Joseph had stepped into second in charge of Egypt, it would have been a completely different story. Why? Because in the delay, he is developing you. He needs to develop character. He needs to develop faith, trust. He needs to take time and build you as a person before he can set you out into your destiny. And I feel like some of us right now, some people in this room, maybe you're in the palace part of your life, and that is awesome. And maybe you're in the pit. Maybe you're in the prison part. And can I encourage you and say, Jesus hasn't forgotten you. It literally says, I was with you. I was with you in the palace. I was with you in the prison. Can I say that maybe he's trying to develop you? Some of us in this room have faced huge obstacles, huge heartache, huge grief, rejection, huge trauma. Some of you guys currently are facing battles of anxiety and depression. Some of you feel like this is never, ever going to end. And I want to encourage you and say, sometimes we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, and it is the hardest thing to do. And there's a reason that it says in the Bible, pick up your cross daily. Because unfortunately, you don't just pick it up once and go, hey, yes, my life is awesome. It's every day you have to remember to come back to Jesus. You know, I have this, I guess I would call it my switch off time. Don't judge me. I watch like those reality TV shows that are just trash. Trash TV, right? Because it stops my mind thinking, because it's just, you don't have to think. I am literally that person that will Google what happens in the end of a football match so I don't have to live in anxiety. Like, it's a problem. So trash TV doesn't do that to me because I don't care about the outcome. So I'll watch it, and I got myself into this kind of this like rut where I'd go to bed and I'd wake up and I'd be like, oh, I'll just put it on while I'm getting ready. And then I'd drive to work and I'd get home and I'm like, oh, I'll just put it on while I'm, you know, like getting ready to go to bed or doing the dishes. And I honestly felt this Holy Spirit moment of like, hello. Because sometimes we go through the motions. We pick up our Bible and we're like, yes, I've read my verse. On with my day. And God's like, hey, I've actually got more to say to you. I've got more that I want to pour into you. There's more that I need to develop. Let me do it. And so I want to encourage you by saying, if you're in the delay right now, it doesn't mean that you've been denied. God is trying to develop you this morning.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope you enjoyed the service. We are praying for you, and we will see you next week.